Hey, everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarian. We're back with another week of professional wrestling. And man, what a week it was. I say that every week, but it's always a lot going on. With me, as always, is the Michael Jordan to my Scottie Pippen, Rich Stambolian.
Hey, it's me, Michael Jordan, the basketball player. Nice to meet you.
you live in Bensonhurst, right? Bensonhurst,
Brooklyn. I live in Bensonhurst. I take the D train every day to work. That's about it, guy.
Yeah, that's exactly how Michael Jordan, the basketball player, sounds, and Michael B. Jordan, the actor.
Yeah,
they sound exactly the same. Exactly the same. It is my dream. So you were not here last week. You were out. Family stuff. I said nothing terrible happened to Rich. He was just out.
Yeah, he was just out.
He's good. He's good.
Thanks for covering. Thanks, yeah. MG Geek, for covering me.
Yeah, he filled in. He called in. I did about, I don't know, 30 minutes, 40 minutes of just talking about what happened on Saturday. It was nice. It was a nice little quick show we did. Went solo. There is so much to talk about. Now I'm going to be doing that voice all day. There's so much to talk about. Listen, Mayor de Blasio, let's talk wrestling. there is a ton to talk about. Obviously, Sunday night was the big story, where Kenny Omega captured the Impact World Heavyweight Championship and, of course, the TNA Championship to add to his AAA mega title and, of course, the AEW World Heavyweight Championship. He is now the belt collector, which we're going to talk about. Before we do, Rich, I want to thank our sponsor, and that's Canvas Theory. Listen, I'm all about snapbacks. I'm all about really cool hats and t-shirts that are not super in your face with what they're trying to sell you. Canvas Theory has a selection of great pro wrestling inspired snapbacks, baseball caps, where you could wear it. You know what? If someone's in the know, they're gonna know it's a pro wrestling thing. They're gonna give you a little too sweet when you're walking down the street. If you're not a big wrestling fan, you're still gonna look at it and say, man, that's an awesome hat. Inspiration from Japanese pro wrestling, Lucha Libre, and of course American style pro wrestling, all there. And they have a great offer for you guys. Use the code MATMEN at checkout. You get 10% off your first purchase at canvastheory.com. That's canvastheory.com. Go check them out. Let's talk about Sunday, because, I watched that show. It was not a bad show at all. I don't have the exact numbers. Dude, I really screwed myself up with doing that accent before the show, because now every word, I want to say it with that accent.
We should just lean into it, man.
Sorry, guys. I'm going to ruin this whole show with that. So I thought it was a really good show. Mauro Ranallo called the main event, which was really cool to see. Yeah. I know for a fact Matt Stryker was really fanboying out because it's next tomorrow. He's calling it.
Oh, yeah.
What did you think? Did you watch the whole thing? Because I actually watched majority of it.
I watched bits and pieces. I like where Impact is going now. I feel like they're getting like a slight rub from the AEW stuff, you know, and stuff is happening. You know, I do like Big Cass showing up, but they're calling him W. Morrissey now. Like they're using like his real name.
Yeah, yeah. That was, dude, he looked awesome, huh?
He looked tremendous, man. Dude, I'm very fascinated that Impact scooped him up so quick, you know, because the way he was looking like the last few weeks on the indie shows, the shows that Gallus put together, I would have for sure thought like this guy would have been scooped up by WWE again. But you know what? Impact needs a big man, right? With a personality.
Well, Impact could use him. I mean, even AEW. First of all, the act of Enzo and Cass is the story here. And obviously, we didn't see Enzo there, but a lot of things are indicating that you're going to see Enzo and him. They did some stuff on the indies a couple of weeks ago, like Rich mentioned. I'm kind of, you know, I don't think people realize how instrumental they were in like 2016, 2017, 2018.
Oh, dude, I remember when we first started doing the show and they were in NXT, and this is before NXT was on Wednesdays. I think this was like when NXT was like internet only.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, they had that whole feud with Rusev in the wheelchair and Enzo breaking his leg. And all those promos were amazing. And then all of a sudden that takeover in Brooklyn, the head office seemed like they were like, yo, we got to get these guys on Raw, you know?
You know, you're right. I actually forgot how far back it goes. Enzo debuted May 22nd, 2013. defeating Mason Ryan on NXT TV. Colin Cassidy debuted on NXT on June 5th. Yes. And remember, his gimmick was very much, it was more closer to Vinny Vegas.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And he had a stutter too, right?
Did he? I think so.
Cass had a stutter and Enzo did the talking, but he was like the cool, like he was like the cool big guy, like behind Enzo. He was doing like the Pauly hands from like Sopranos, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I remember. I might be wrong, but I think I'm right.
Yeah, I think, you know, I know they got a lot of hate for some odd reason. But as far as an act goes, I don't think WWE had anybody as over as them for that time period that they were super, super over. I mean, it was unbelievable. That Royal Rumble at the Alamo Dome, was it the Alamo Dome? Yeah.
Sure.
At the Alamo Dome. That Royal Rumble was their peak, in my opinion.
They were impossibly over at one
impossibly
point.
Impossibly
right?
over.
And I think for us, it was fun because like, oh, these are two guys from like New York or New Jersey, whatever. And it's just, it was fun seeing how the crowd just had been yearning for that forever, you know? And it reminded me of those, like, you know, when Road Dogg would come out and do his spiel.
Exactly that.
And, you know, like Enzo would come out, call everybody a sloppy jalopy. And you know what? Not for nothing. Enzo is a great example of a dude who's not the best in-ring technician, but has everything else. And that's fine.
You don't need to be the best wrestler to get over. I mean, we know.
No,
that.
Not at all. Not at all.
And, you want to hear my Enzo impersonation?
Oh, please.
Hey, Mayor de Blasio, it's me, Enzo Amore. How you doing? There you go.
How you doing, you sloppy jalopy?
I actually trashed my, I destroyed my throat with doing that voice. So now I'm going to suffer for the remainder of the show. So yeah, dude, I thought it was from, as far as I know, it was the most ordered show in a very long time. But I believe
in America,
but I believe we said the same about that big Slammiversary show that they ran where everybody ordered.
Yeah.
Right. Was that Slammiversary?
But they're doing very well, I think, as far as they're finally waking up. Right. Like it feels like Impact is finally waking
up. Well, the stink's off. The stink is fine. That Jeff Jarrett WCW stink may have come off this company.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it's cool that they're actually like doing stuff with other companies. And I think this is like the trajectory right now, unless something crazy happens, is like this is good for every single person.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
Kenny beating Rich Swann. Kenny's got four belts right now, right?
Four
Impact,
titles, yeah.
TNA, AEW, AAA Mega Championship. I want to see this dude. Honestly, like Nick Aldis's NWA title, if they can make that happen.
Yeah.
Right? And I really want to see, feel like I'm going to get a lot of heat for this, because Mox and Kenny have been feuding for quite some time. Kenny takes that U.S. title off him.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that U.S. title because it will be defended on AEW TV, which I think is going to be, again, right? Was the other one a U.S. title match or no? That was a non-title match. It was a non-title match, the tag match.
It was a tag match, and he had the match with Kenta at a New Japan show in California.
Yes, yes. We'll talk about that because there's a lot to talk about. But, you know, Big Cass, Cass XL, W. Morrissey. A Queens boy went to Holy Cross, Bayside,
Malloy.
Whitestone area. Malloy? Malloy boy?
Yeah, he went to Malloy.
He's a Malloy boy. I thought he went to Holy Cross.
No, I went to Holy Cross.
You went to Holy Cross. So he debuted. Kenny Omega unseated Rich Swann to become the new Impact and TNA World Champion. We mentioned that. A lot of titles for him. So you think the U.S. title's going on him?
I kind of want that to happen because like that's an easy get, right? Mm. Like... But again, what's Kenny's relationship with New Japan? Who knows? I think it's too soon to add like Ring of Honor to this stew, but CMLL broke off their relationship with, I forgot who.
With Ring of Honor.
With Ring of Honor. And
yeah, so CMLL, because here's the problem. CMLL right now has new ownership, and these guys are apparently a freaking disaster.
Yeah.
They're really screwing over a lot of their partners in Mexico. They're signing a lot of their names to like exclusive contracts and not letting them work in certain places. So I don't know what this means for Ring of Honor. Obviously, we know that Ring of Honor has taken a real back seat over the last, you know, since, I mean, really, it was their swan song, that MSG show, and everything kind of fell apart from there. And Impact has picked up parts of this, and so has MLW, because MLW, and we haven't discussed this on the show, MLW has a new TV deal with Vice. So they're on a new, they're going to be on Vice, and I think that's a tremendous positive for them, because Vice obviously has a lot more buzz than BN Sports, which was formerly, I believe, Al Jazeera Sports. So I think they have a lot more hype behind the name, behind Vice. And by the way, Vice also airs a series that we're big fans of, which we're going to have the creators on possibly next week, Dark Side of the Ring.
That's gonna be fun, right? I can't wait to talk to those dudes, or one of those dudes. You know who else would be a good pick? I think for Kenny Omega to collect belts if they can make it happen, the GHC title. I don't think we've seen Kenny and
Muda
fight.
No, but I mean, think about what a tremendous match that would be. You know, for fans, you know, for historic. Us, I don't know how much of a TV match that could be, but I think that would be a historic match. I think this relationship with New Japan has really opened up over the last couple of weeks. We've seen the changes happen where Gallows and Anderson now are, you know, they're on the Impact side, but obviously they're planning on going to Japan when things open up. Once, you know, Japan right now is in another lockdown period.
Yeah.
So, and they've canceled some shows, but, you know, probably by the summer, you're going to have a lot less restrictions. After the Olympics, obviously, things will open up. So probably by September, you're going to see a lot of these guys come over and go over, which is a very big positive here. I don't know. I think for Kenny, he's very comfortable in this role, and we'll talk about AEW when we get to the show. But very, very cool to see Impact really going down a new trajectory. Very positive, especially for the
industry.
It's
very cool.
More people out there, the better it is. The more product out there, the better it is.
There's also kind of like, I have like an interesting like fanboy perspective too, where Jericho kicked open that quote unquote forbidden door with that Austin
conspiracies.
Thing. Right. I feel like there's like a little nugget that's 1% in my heart that says, imagine if Vince calls up whoever and goes, hey, how about Kenny beats so-and-so for this title? Why go anywhere else when you can come and play with us?
I'm going to tell you something. I would have said absolutely not, never, ever, ever, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I would say today's WWE is more open to, and I'm not saying it's going to happen, right? Like, I still let me just say this. That will not happen, okay? I'm just going to, this is me saying I do not believe that'll ever happen. However, if we were ever close to something like that ever happening, then that's a possibility. Also, WWE is not against working with New Japan. I just want to put that out there.
Right, and I feel like this, like, again, just conspiracy theory stuff. I always feel like WWE says they're not afraid of competition, not afraid of stuff, but they do things to turn the screws. And I feel like if they got their claws into a New Japan thing, that could lead to other stuff for like a whatever, like a one-off, two-off, who cares? But, you know, it's just kind of interesting how they do business. And speaking of WWE, can we talk about Raw?
Let's talk about Raw.
Yeah, exactly. So we have in the notes here, here's their discussion for Raw, right?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we don't really have to go into what happened on Raw, but the discussion we have in the notes is, why does Raw suck now, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I
go ahead.
No. I don't know. But I do know, but I don't know why they don't know. But you go ahead.
Here's like, 2 points I kind of want to make about this. One, Raw isn't for quote-unquote wrestling fans anymore, right? Guys like us, cover wrestling, etc. Like, those diehards, I think we're not aged out of it. We might be, but it's not for the diehards anymore. You know, it's just nonsensical to guys like us. But to quote Ron Funches from Renee Young's podcast last week or earlier this week, he thinks it's a show for kids now. And after hearing that, I kind of agree.
Who said this? Yeah, you know what? If you think about it. But here's the problem, right? I'm gonna say this properly. By the way, Big Chaos has signed for the foreseeable future with Impact.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I just confirmed with Sean Ross Sapp. I would say that yes, you're absolutely right. They're hyper focused in on kids, but which kids? What age? Because I gotta tell you, 12-year-olds are finding this shit to be corny.
5 to 10.
But I listen, I love wrestling. I don't want my kids watching Raw. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, well, I'm not gonna sit there and watch. Like, I got a 5-year-old and I got a 4-year-old and I got a 5-year-old. Obviously, they're very young. So a 5-year-old, I'm not gonna sit there and watch Raw Monday nights with my kid. But my 7, 8, 9-year-old, how interested are they in this? It's a very competitive platform now. Listen, you're not competing with TV. Mm-hmm. You're competing with a kid playing Fortnite on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Well, I got a follow-up question for you. So when we were kids, the things that did it for us were seeing like Hogan on Superstars or like Undertaker and like all that stuff. Very cartoony, right? Have you ever talked to a person who was an adult at that time, like a 30 to 40-year-old person,
yeah,
who was watching WWE at that time?
Which time period is this?
Like the Hogan era when we were kids.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
We ate that stuff up. But I want to know the perspective of somebody who was around then and saw this stuff. I wonder if they were like, F this, I'm going to watch NWA. Like,
my dad.
I don't care about this. Okay.
My dad. My dad never watched WCW or NWA stuff. Loved WWF.
Okay.
And he's the reason why I got into wrestling, because he would make me watch with him. And the reason why he was into it was because he's a body guy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So he was very much into the big giant aesthetics. Like, he would talk about Rick Rude's like traps to me and his biceps. Like, I remember as a kid, he's like, actually, out of all the people in this company, he has the best body. Like, I remember him telling me that.
Mm-hmm.
And we would just go, ooh, look at his abs. That's how we would watch wrestling. No, but my dad was into it. So, you know, the larger than life. But you know what he didn't like? He didn't like Austin.
Really?
He didn't care for him. It did nothing for him.
How come?
Because he's a total bigot and hates bald white men. That's
okay.
Why. No, it just, you know what it was? It was like, okay, he's just a guy that's cursing. Like, he doesn't have a great body. Like, he didn't get the character. He didn't get it. It didn't connect with him. But he loved The Rock. He loved, always obviously loved Hogan. He was very into certain people, but like, Hogan was the guy. Hogan and Warrior were the guys.
That's fascinating. But I think now we don't have that like larger than life, hyper-kinetic presentation of the product, right? Like, what we have is basically like an LED advertisement for Peacock and whatever their next event is. You know, I think bland is too strong a word, because nothing can be bland with that much like colorfulness and like all the characters or whatever.
Yeah.
But there's just something, I can't put my finger on it, but there is just something that's like a turnoff right now.
Well, I can tell you, for me,
okay,
it feels like I'm watching a reality show. It's become so manufactured watching it. And obviously, it always has been manufactured. It's always been. But for lack of a better term, obviously, the rawness of Raw is gone. It's very strong. Like, if you told me this was filmed 3 months ago and that's how they've been operating, like everything is like they film like a TV show, I would believe you.
Yeah.
I would say, you know what? That's absolutely, it comes off that way. It comes off that this is a 52-week TV product with ebbs and flows. Yeah, it's a production. Yeah. While SmackDown, they're going more with the sports feel a little bit. I mean, they suffer from the same issues, but they're a little bit better at giving you a sense of reality opposed to being manufactured.
I'm going to interject a little bit, because I feel like we can unpack this like very quickly. I feel like the lack of passion we have for Raw is a direct result of them having no crowd. When we watch WrestleMania 2 nights in a row, I feel like I can speak for both of us when I say that shit was a lot of fun.
It was, yeah. Yeah.
I think when crowds start coming back, we may have a different tune. And plus, the like, I feel like the guys on Raw and SmackDown, not necessarily they need a crowd, but I feel like it reinforces what they're doing so they can read the crowd a little better, you know, especially when they're cutting promos.
Yeah.
Because
you're right. The promos are terrible. Mm-hmm. The promos are too...
It's like a book report. It's like when you're a kid and reading a book report in front of your class. Like, you don't want to do it, but you're trying.
Dude, I hate not talking positively about... Like, Listen, I tend to now, on this show especially, be more positive about AEW than I am about Raw. However, I hate having that commentary because I try to enjoy Raw. I try every week, and I take what I personally like out of how I watch also. And I'm like, maybe it's not, maybe, you know, listen, it's more of a casual viewership. I'm more of an enthusiast and you know, someone that covers pro wrestling. So maybe it's lost that luster for me, but really it has not been great. And you could tell by the viewership, you could tell by how people are reacting to this. Nothing really happens week over week. They're attempting a lot of bizarro stuff. The focus is everywhere rather than on the key people. Mm-hmm. You know, Braun Strowman pins Drew McIntyre. Okay. Added to the WWE title match at WrestleMania Backlash. Okay. Deville is brought back Charlotte 1 week after being suspended. Okay, so that was stupid. They suspended her, now she's back. RK-Bro, Randy Orton and Riddle defeat Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin. These guys were feuding, and now what are we doing? And then AJ and Omos, off of Raw for 3 weeks when this guy was getting a big push.
Well, I think AJ was on, AJ and Omos were on the one of the WWE shows. What's it called? Like the Boom or whatever?
The Bump.
And he said they've been in Nigeria for 3 weeks partying and celebrating.
Unbelievable.
Which I'm fine with that. You know, like that's a good little storyline kind of like thing. But I find it fascinating. Yes, they're going to do their own thing. It's an audience of one. It's whatever Vince McMahon wants. I understand that. It's hard. I don't want to complain about it, but I know both of us don't go into Monday night going, oh, this is going to suck again. Like everybody else does, you know, or like a lot of people do. Like we try to be present and say, let's give this another shot, you know, but the onus is on us. It's like Sisyphus pushing the boulder up a hill.
Yes, it is. It is.
You know, like every Monday night, we're pushing that boulder going, maybe this is going to be amazing. You know,
you want to go into NXT?
Let's do it, baby. Baby. Mercedes Martinez beat Dakota Kai for Raquel Gonzalez via disqualification. I enjoyed the match. I have come around big time to Raquel Gonzalez. I feel like this is an interesting case of the chicken or the egg question in wrestling, which is, does the belt make the person or the person make the belt? I think
we're going to find out with this.
Yeah, I think with the belt, Raquel Gonzalez has like that. I feel like she's got that championship aura now, you know?
Yeah, I think her rise to that position has been very interesting because it kind of came out of nowhere, but you could see why. You know, she's tall, she's big. I don't think they've had is she the tallest champion they've had?
Or Charlotte? I want to say
no, I don't think she's that tall. I think she just has the presence of being tall. Remember we spoke about this. She looks like she's like 6'1", but she's not.
Okay.
So I all right, cool. I'm into this.
Yeah. How did you feel about Cameron Grimes redoing the Ted DiBiase stuff in the jewelry store?
I love it. I'm into this.
I'm cool with that too. Yeah. I've come around to Cameron Grimes a lot. He had Zeta Ramirez beating Tony Storm with a shooting star press, which was a fun quick match. Tony Storm's getting jobbed out, man.
What's going on there? That's what I want to know.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, like, it's always somebody in the back, right? It's always somebody in the back.
Something's going, you know, she's been there for 4 years. And honestly, 4 years ago, we spoke about this and said, they need to bring her to the main roster immediately or be on TV. They had her off TV. She was in UK. I get it. You know, they were trying to build that brand, but they had something very special in her when she came in. And now she's losing. to up and comers.
Which is fine if booked properly, right? But she came out of nowhere with such fire. And now in 2021, it's like, what happened? You know, I feel like she's going to go somewhere else and she'll be better off, right?
Yeah, I don't know if she's going to go anywhere else. I don't know how happy. It's a shame because she's so talented and she's really good. Yeah. But there's a disconnect here between her and the company. And I don't know why.
Well, I feel like judging from that Mark Carano stuff that came out last week, you can see how all it takes is just one butthole working in the back to kind of make your life miserable, right? Like one guy who doesn't like you or girl who doesn't like you can just like turn your winning streak into like a shit streak.
Yeah, we should talk about Mark Carano in a little bit once we're done with the show. Yeah. Also, because there's a lot going on there.
You also had Bronson Reed beating Austin Theory. Great. I love Bronson Reed. You had Imperium. Beat Drake Maverick and Killian Dane. That was an okay match. I feel like there's now they're kind of planting the seeds for like an Imperium shift.
Yeah.
With Alexander Wolf, you know? Whatever. I think they need Walter back on TV.
Definitely.
You had the sit down interview with Adam Cole, which was fun, you know, talking about basically poo pooing on Kyle O'Reilly. And you had the main event, which was pretty fantastic. I think the main event was the highlight of the show. NXT this week was kind of a dud for me. I don't know about you.
Yeah, the main event was Santos Escobar, Mendoza, and Joaquin Wilde. Yeah, defeated NXT Tag Team Champions MSK Wesley and Nash Carter, and the NXT Cruiserweight Champion Kushida. So let's talk about this next thing.
Yes.
What was that vignette about? Who is the Diamond Mine?
The Diamond Mine. I like the name. I like the name. I don't know. I don't know. It's interesting. You have...
The Diamond Mine?
Frankie Monet, her thing, her symbol has like a diamond on it, right?
I don't think it's Frankie Monet, though.
Or something, maybe she's managing something. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. Whatever it is, I'm open.
So, by the way, Toni Storm has not won since the War Games match.
Ooh.
And I'm very interested to see who this is because a lot of people speculating, well, it's Tessa, right? Tessa.
Cool.
All right. I don't know. I haven't even asked. I haven't even looked into it. I don't know. I'm going to ask and I'll find out, but I don't know. I don't know what the Diamond Mine is. You know, you obviously is it going towards a stable? Is it going towards a guy? Is it a girl? Mm. Diamond Dallas Page. It's a stable.
Imagine. Bang.
Hey, it's me, Maya de Blasio. It's me, Diamond Dallas Page.
Bang. They both say bang at the end.
They both
of
say bang at the same time.
Their speeches.
So matches for next Tuesday. There's a street fight for the tag team championship for the NXT Women's Tag Team Championship. Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart versus Candice and Indy. False Count Anywhere. Mm-hmm. Leon Ruff versus Isaiah Swerve Scott. Finn Balor also returns. I didn't even realize he was gone.
I feel like Finn Balor takes so many vacations. Like he's treated so well at this point he's like, yeah, I'm just going to bounce for like a couple of weeks. Great. No problem.
So, and then in 2 weeks, you're going to have Raquel Gonzalez, defends against Mercedes Martinez in
great.
2 weeks.
I'm cool with that.
NXT ratings were not great. Very surprised by this. 744 down from 841. I think this is I don't want to speculate if this is a problem or not. This could have been a fluke. Have been a one-day fluke, but that's a big drop to have. 100,000 people. You lost viewership. I know that, listen, they're rebuilding. We get it. It's a different night. It's a different crew. Mm. But they need to do more than they're doing. With this.
Well, do you think it's a case of like competitive booking when they were going head-to-head with AEW? Even though they say they weren't doing parallel booking?
You know, somebody I know over at Warner Media was telling me how I was talking about the ratings. Where I said, well, you guys expect a big pop. He said, yeah, but, you know, you also have to think about how many viewers are being brought to you from the other product because you're on the same night. So,
right.
He's like, it's not a shoo-in. Like, everybody's expecting, like, obviously we'll find out AEW's numbers this week because it was a really good show. Next week it'll be big. But, you know, 1.2, 1.1 million. He was saying, like, listen, I wouldn't be surprised if it drops to 900,000 or 800,000 because you have two competitive products on at the same night that do have crossover. But they also, some of that crossover is only there because it's on the same night. So
That's fascinating.
It is fascinating. It was an interesting way to look at it, but I mean, that's not good. 744 down from 841. Let's see what happens next week, and let's see what happens to AEW's ratings this week.
Judging from, you know, like our social media feeds and stuff like that, it seems like, so when we would tweet, for example, on a Wednesday night when both shows were opposite each other, we would get flooded with like these NXT sycophants who I am now convinced are bots bought by WWE, because guess what? All those accounts disappeared as soon as they moved to like Tuesday, you know? And it's very bizarre when you see that happen, you know?
Listen, I think we could all agree that the buzz, the perception, the optics of NXT are no longer what they were two, 3 years ago. You know, that's definitely diminished, but I don't think it's, you know, when the fans come back, I think we'll see a very different feel for this show. WWE realizes that they need to put fans in those buildings. They need to have a different aesthetic. And I think this is, you know, once the fans open up, we'll start seeing that for an NXT.
Absolutely. I think they'll kick it up once the fans start coming in. It's, you know, it's going to be like a slow trickle, but it's going to happen. How did you like AEW, Andrew?
I thought it was a very good show. So I watched it on delay because I went to the Mets game last night.
How was that?
It was great.
First, you know, game what in it 2 years?
Was? First game. I tweeted that and then I realized that I went to a bunch of games in the summer. So like almost 2 years, right? Like first game in, I don't know, 10 months. 20 months. You know, which is wild to think that I didn't go to any baseball for that long, but nobody went to baseball last year. I watched it when I got home. I got to tell you, you know, it was a really good show. Solid show.
I would consider this last night's show a home run. I would say an A. That was an A. The whole night.
Yeah, to build to next week. Absolutely. I thought they did next week. Very good job building into next week. And we also found out that it's not a one match show next week. They're actually putting in a lot of effort here.
There's going to be a couple of things there. And like last night was for a 2 hour wrestling show. This was probably the most jam packed show they had since they had Shaq on.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a crazy jam packed show.
You know, like you had Brian Cage beating Hangman clean. I think Brian Cage has got.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. What did you think of that? Because I know you're a huge Hangman fan, but what
big Hangman fan?
Interesting, right? And also Brian Cage, he's gigantic, but he's in his bulking phase. I feel
he looks tremendous. I have come around to Brian Cage big time.
I've always been into him.
See, I think him being with Taz and being with these veterans that you don't get on the indies, I think he's picked up a lot of stuff and it's showing. You know, his work rate is cleaner, his moves are crisper. Say what you want about his facial hair, but you know, it's part of the character, right?
Yeah.
And you had the Bucks beating the Sydal brothers, which was a lot of fun. I like how Brandon Cutler is their young boy now.
Yeah.
What's the other
Sydal brother's name? Matt and what?
Mart.
Mart?
I'm not sure.
I think it's like Matt and Mick. I think it's an M also. Mike Sydal.
Mike. Okay.
You want to hear my Sydal brothers impersonation?
Oh, please. Yeah.
Hey, Mayor de Blasio. It's me, Matt Sydal. This is my brother, Mike.
My brother, B-B-R-U-D-D-A.
This is my brother, Mike. Help us out. Our garbage is piling up. Everybody's garbage is piling up. I don't know what's going on with these guys. Okay, fine. You know, it's cool to see Matt Sydal. He's another guy that really, wrong time, wrong company, wrong place, huh?
Oh, absolutely, man. But right place, right time now with his brother, especially, you know, like he was floating around in the indies for a while and, you know, like doing what he does. And the dude hasn't lost a step, you know, like last night's match was pretty, it was fun. It was tremendous. The Bucks got called out by SCU, which I thought was a great promo. I love this version of the asshole Young Bucks.
Yeah, yeah, they're always good as assholes. They've always been great as heels. You know, they're so naturally heelish, so it works.
You had Orange Cassidy beating Penta, which I thought was a fun match. I know a lot of people online were saying like it was a little too indie-rific for them, but listen, you need a space for everything, right?
It was fine. It was okay. Yeah.
It was great. You had the Blood and Guts Parlay, War Games Rules,
NWA War Games Rules.
NWA War Games Rules. You had for the most part, everybody kind of spoke, right?
Yeah, everybody spoke. You know who shocked me? Who, in my, listen, Jericho's promo was great, and we'll talk about that. Whew. But I thought Sean Spears yeah. had, his promo came out, I didn't expect it to be that strong. He caught a great freaking promo. And I thought it was interesting, because you now start to see, FTR and Spears are WWE guys, right? WWE, developmental guys.
Yeah.
Their promos were just really solid. I mean, really solid. And then you see some of the younger guys, even MJF's promo was not, I honestly, I think MJF is one of the best in the business. I think Sean Spears was better than him last night.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think because, you know what, those kind of shoot style promos, especially with regard to Sean Spears, there's got to be a little bit of a knot in his chest to say you know what, F everybody, I'm finally going to come into my own.
Yeah, I think this was the first time I've seen that in him.
Mm-hmm.
Even on top of that Cody chair shot, everybody thought that was the moment. I thought this solidified him as a bigger star.
Dax's promo was fantastic also, cutting the promo on Ortiz about their kids and all that stuff. MJF talking about Jericho was awesome, but then Jericho cut one of the greatest promos in his career and easily top five promos in AEW history.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. Very good promo. Yeah. Very good promo.
Home run.
Yeah, home run with that segment. Did a great job at building next week's show. Eddie Kingston versus Michael Nakazawa never happened.
Nah.
Eddie Kingston is so fascinating because there's only one region of the world that man could be from. Same thing with Santana and Ortiz, dude. Santana and Ortiz, Puerto Ricans from the Bronx. There's no place else those two guys could be from, Santana and Ortiz. I freaking love everything about it. That is not a character, guys. They are genuine. Those people exist. I see them all the time. It's so interesting to see it on TV, representing New York, that microcosm of Puerto Ricans from the Bronx, and it's so specific that they're displaying that on TV. And by the way, Eddie Kingston also, very unique accent, hearing him talk.
It's funny because, they're just dudes from around the way, right?
Street dudes from Queens, from New York.
But I think for the funny thing about that is for the rest of the country, they're whoa, people talk like that?
Yeah, I was at a bar the other day and I was talking to someone that was an Eddie Kingston ripoff.
Hey, Bobby, come here. Let me tell you something.
Hey, let me tell you something about that de Blasio, that no good de Blasio.
You believe the traffic out there today?
The Bell Parkway.
You believe the traffic on the belt at the BQE?
Omega comes out. Nakazawa tries to jump Orton. Orton, Jesus Christ. Orton. Kingston.
MGK,
I'm on the wrong show. No, that was me. Kingston threatened to break Kenny's leg to get the match. Moxley comes out. Now it's a 2-on-2. What's the match next week? Michael Nakazawa and Omega?
Versus Eddie and Mox.
I like that he calls him his goons now. He's like, you think we got only one goon? We got all these goons. I have so many goons.
He's the video game boss, right? He's the final boss. Of course he's going to send the goons out, and the goons love it.
I like this character. I'm into it. I was not into it at first. I was a little hesitant on this over-the-top video game character. You know, it's a close resemblance to the original heel character he was doing in New Japan, where he was like he was an anime villain, and now he's morphed it more into the villain, the head boss from Streets of Rage.
Oh, absolutely, 100%,
Mr. X.
You also had Chris Statlander beating Penelope Ford. Good showing for both women. I think the AEW women's division, like, their women have come a long way, and we're starting to see like the fruits of the labor of the training and all that stuff. Strong match. After the match, you had Kip getting the crap kicked out of him by Miro. He's an anomaly for me because I'm like, oh, what are they doing with this guy?
Wait, sometimes it doesn't work. Listen, yeah. Sometimes it takes a while. Maybe they're taking their time with him. Maybe he wants to adapt, you know? But, or maybe maybe he's not hungry enough. I don't know. I don't know what the answer there is.
That's true. Like, you never know. We're just speculating. But, and I understand, like, not wanting to go back and play the hits and rehash the old stuff. But guess what worked? Him being the Bulgarian Brute.
And I love that. I love that.
Right.
Yeah. I you know what? I think that the top is so heavy right now with the Kenny Omega stuff. Maybe they're just waiting to put him in when the time is right.
True.
You know? And if you also notice, they're big on promoting people that are getting over on their own.
Yes.
Which WWE tends to not do. I honestly, the Eddie Kingston stuff, every bit of this has to do with the fact that he got over on his own.
So over.
That first match he had with, you know, on and he was a substitute in that match, I believe. With Cody, but he was subbing in for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody couldn't make it. I can't remember what it was, or maybe I'm remembering it wrong, but it was on a fluke that it got over, but his natural ability is not a fluke, and this guy is so charismatic where now he's in the top program.
With, like, the top dudes in the wrestling business. Yeah. It's pretty fascinating.
Yeah.
You had your favorite, QT Marshall, Nick Camarado, and Aaron Solo with Anthony Ogogo, whom I'm a big fan of, beating Dustin, Billy Gunn, and Lee Johnson, the Nightmare Family.
I got to tell you, this does nothing for me. This whole program. Yeah.
Such a great match.
No. The match was fine. I just can't get behind. I think Nick Camarado's interesting. I think he could do something. I don't get this whole feud. I don't know. Maybe I missed when it started and I wasn't invested in it. You know what I mean? Like, maybe it's just that me, but I'm not as connected to this as I thought I should be.
I'm into it, man. I'm really into it. I'm into the whole thing. I like QT Marshall as a piece of shit. I like the Nightmare Family as a whole, especially with, like, Billy Gunn in there. And also they're going old school with this, where Anthony Ogogo's finisher, because he was a professional boxer, is a punch to the gut, you know? Billy Gunn came taped up, and every time this dude punches somebody in the gut, they sell it like nobody's business, which I think is great, you know? Cody returned, and they ended up fighting on top of Cody's bus, which I thought was such a great moment, you know? But again, like, I think you missed those first couple of bits from a few weeks ago.
That could have been it.
Which was probably it, but I'm feeling it. This is a good, like, undercard feud.
Okay. Yeah, listen, it's not a bad fight. I'm just not connected. Main event time. How do you feel about Darby main eventing back to back? Was
it
the main event last week?
Yes. I'm very cool with it. I think they're telling a cool story here that the kid's indestructible. And the Sting rub is awesome. This is the fifth week in a row that he's defended the title.
Fifth week,
which is great. And you have, like, you're adding more players. Like, the Darby stuff is really good to elevate everybody who could go for that belt, right?
Yeah.
The story that was told last night was the Dark Order wants that belt back to the Dark Order because that's the Brody belt, right?
Yeah.
You had Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky attacking Sting and Darby at the end of the match, which I think is great. Like, this is their IC championship, right?
This is our IC championship that they're really protecting. I got to tell you, though, you know, Ethan Page, we've watched him wrestle for God knows how many years, right?
Yeah.
On the indies. And we've always been very vocal that he's super, super talented. And I think, like, four or five years ago, you know, we were covering going Evolve. And I think you said this guy's going to be a top guy in the business.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be a known name.
Such a personality. However, you know, so they put the boots to Sting and to Darby Allin, right? And Scorpio Sky's, you know, doing his whole thing. Ethan Page goes to kick Sting, right? Mm-hmm. And for a second, like, you could see him light up as a human being.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, like, he had a little bit of hesitation. And you'll only see this if you, like, if you're, like, micro, you know, microdosing. Jesus, if you're microdosing,
oh, yeah,
like,
maybe.
The crows come out every time you punch Sting. Just out of his ears. They just fly out. No, but he was, like, he went for a kick. And, like, he was a little soft about it. But, like, you could see just his face lit up that, holy shit, you know what? I'm in a main event on Dynamite.
Yeah.
And I'm beating up Sting and I'm Ethan Page. That has to be really cool.
Do you want to beat up Sting now just to get that feeling?
I just want to feel anything. I want the crows to come out of his ears. Ah, crows just fly out. All right.
When I'm back in the studio, let's do a bunch of drugs and just do a couple of shows.
Maybe we don't pretend.
Okay, pretend.
We don't want to get demonetized here. No, we're just joking. We're just joking. I feel like I gotta constantly say that because I got a message one time like, you know, like somebody was like very upset at the comment. I'm like, dude, it's just a joke. We're just making a joke. I gotta tell you one thing. Okay. Maybe it's the age. I don't connect with Darby Allin as much as a lot of other people do now. And I get it. I think he's very impressive. But to see him 2 weeks in the main event, I don't necessarily know if that was it's a good thing.
I'm cool with it, man. You know, like, Darby.
Why? You know what I'm hearing? Yeah. All I'm hearing is, what the hell is that thing? You know what I mean? Like, from like, you're not helping the maybe you're saying, fuck it. I don't know. Maybe they're like, fuck it. If they don't like it, they don't like it. Whatever. But I think that if you're a casual fan and you're more on the WWE side and you tune in 2 weeks to this and you see this kid is in the main event, you're going to think he's the main focus because that's how it always is. And you're going to be like, so you got this, you know, 5'7" kid in the main event with Sting. What the hell is this?
I think he's a draw. I think Darby's a draw for a lot of people, you know?
Like, I think for a lot of people he is, yeah.
And I think that's where, like, that 10 o'clock aspect comes in. Like, he's main eventing at 9:30, and I guarantee you there are kids and adults who wait the entire show to see Darby Allin. He comes out like a skeleton. He's got the skateboard shit going on. He's got a great aesthetic. He reminds me of a lot of kids that I knew, like, growing up.
Me too.
You know, like, the kids who would just get into fights all the time, but would never back down, you know, like tiny dudes. And I think he brings that, he has like that spirit about him, which I really enjoy. And I think that transcends in like that weird Jeff Hardy way, you know, like, this dude's indestructible. And you know what? They protect him very well. Last night, he got a very good win over 10 with the, I don't even know what you call it, but he got like a reverse pin on him, basically. Like, there's nothing he could do. He was getting choked out and just like planted the dude without like a big move, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I get him. Like, in my mind, he's at a certain level and I enjoy seeing him at that level. But, and then you think about the business of things. Like, if I was booking it, I would not put him in the main event 2 weeks in a row. But these guys have analytics that I don't. I could just go based on perception and what I hear from people that are, you know, following wrestling. I think he's very cool, but maybe it's a little too much. Like, you're pushing it a little bit too aggressive.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see what happens with that. Listen, I hope I'm wrong. I don't like to be right about stuff like that.
I think you nailed it when you said like the analytics, because Tony Khan, as we all know, huge numbers guy.
So am I.
Gotta be something there. Gotta
you
be
know
something
what?
There. Right?
Tony Khan. You know what I want to do? What we're gonna do. I want
to
invite
Tony Khan impression first.
I don't have one. I can't do a Tony Khan, but I want to invite Tony Khan over one day. I just want to be like, hey Tony, listen, I'm having a couple people over. You want to come over? But nobody's coming over, right? It's a trick. I'm gonna get us pizza. I'm gonna get us some drinks, wine. Uh-huh. We'll have some wine, not expensive wine. I know he's like the everyday guy. I'm gonna get maybe like a Barefoot, or like a Cavett if I want to do like a nice Pinot Grigio, like a cheap $12 bottle of Pinot Grigio, and I want to like invite him over. He's gonna be like, "Oh, so where's the party?" I'm like, "Tony, it's just me and you. Listen,
it's right here."
And I'm gonna push over just papers, and it's just numbers. and his eyes are going to light up, and he's going to look at me and go, how did you know? I said, because I love numbers too.
Do you think it's like an uncontrollable reaction, like uncontrollable, where he sees like sheets of numbers? He's just like, I must analyze.
Yeah, yeah. We just go through quarter hours. That's all we do, me and Tony, together.
Oh, man. And I feel like if I stumbled onto that party, I'd leave immediately.
No, you would not want to be there. You would not want to be there. It's not for you.
I faint whenever somebody brings up numbers.
Oh, look at that Excel spreadsheet. That's what I'm going to manifest with Tony Khan. I think we're just going to go look at analytics all day because I freaking love numbers. Next week's AEW, Blood and Guts, Inner Circle versus The Pinnacle, Cody Rhodes versus QT Marshall, Kenny Omega and Michael Nakazawa versus Jon Moxley and Eddie Kingston, Britt Baker in action, AEW Tag Team Eliminator 4-Way, SCU versus Jurassic Express versus Varsity Blondes versus The Acclaimed. And in 2 weeks, Rich, be ready to lose your mind, because what are we going to get?
Ready. I'm ready. We're getting IWGP US Championship match between Jon Moxley and Yuji Nagata. I lost my shit last night.
This is Yuji Nagata's first televised North American match, I believe, since early 98 in WCW. Can somebody pull that up for me? Because I believe Yuji was... And it's wild because he's going to be on TNT again. What a great way to end your career, you know, 20-some-odd years later.
So good.
Yuji Nagata is going to be on TNT in 2021. Wild.
I think it's going to be like a super hard-hitting match. But again, I hate saying the Forbidden Door stuff. And I wrote a little thing in the notes, Andrew, and this is for you.
Yeah.
Can you quickly... tell me when the NJPW invasion happens, and how do you fantasy book it?
I mean, do you do it the right way, or do you do it like the political way?
You do it the right way.
You're going to have Okada, Omega, whatever, 5 or 4, whatever this is. And then you would have it for the AEW title, and you would have Kenny lose the title to Okada.
Okay. That's it. He's the only one that comes over. You don't have like Jay White coming over.
No, you would do the whole thing.
For the US title.
No, if you're doing an invasion, you would have all those guys. But I think the big story would be, who's Kenny facing? Who's that match? Is it Jay White? Is it Okada again? Because remember, that Okada match is a super, super big match.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's the biggest match on the planet, right?
You gotta be in a full building. You gotta be, you know, could you do 45,000-50,000? I'm sure they probably could.
Yes.
You know, there's enough diehards out there that would be very interested in seeing that happen in North America. I mean, there's so many different variables here. Tanahashi again, Naito.
Kota Ibushi.
Kota Ibushi, bringing him in. There's tons. There's tons and tons of stuff.
Which is nuts when you think about it, because if they did a mega show between Impact, New Japan, and AEW, I feel like that could be your next garden show, right?
Well, that was the goal, right? That was the goal for All In.
Yeah.
That was always the plan, where you were going to have, you know, essentially non-WWE talent putting on a WrestleMania. And the speculation was, well, can you do 40,000? Yeah, I think you could, especially then. Now you definitely can, because people are just clamoring to go out somewhere. But I mean, can you do a 60,000 person building? Between I would do NWA, I would do Ring of Honor, I do Impact, I do AEW, I do New Japan. You know, you could put together the best of the best and AAA and put a real Super Bowl of pro wrestling together that's non-WWE, and I think they would be very successful at this.
Oh, 100%.
Very successful.
It's fun to think about.
Yeah, very fun. Some wrestling news before we go into our Q&A, boys and girls. I got to get out of here in like 5 minutes, 10 minutes.
All right, let's make it quick, baby.
Mark Carano fired following up with this. So Mickey James was sent her belongings in a garbage bag. We spoke about this. You know, and my point was, and this is what I said last week, and I'll say it again, it's less about the garbage bag, right? The garbage bag is only negative because of everything that led up to that moment with the garbage bag. So, great example. Rich and I have a great relationship. If he was like, hey, dude, listen, I left all the, can you pack this stuff for me, right? And I pack it, I put it in a garbage bag. I'm like, dude, I'm so sorry, I had no boxes. He wouldn't take that as like, you believe this effing guy just threw my crap in a garbage bag and gave it to me? No, because there's communication there.
Right.
The big story here is the lack of communication and the terribleness between the talent relations department and the talent. Mickie James, doesn't matter. She was sent the stuff in a garbage bag. She perceived it as a negative. Mm-hmm. She took it as disrespect. And you only do that when you feel like there's disrespect on the other side. And this says a lot about the talent relation, but the relationship between management and talent in that company. So Mark Carano, obviously, he was, you know, thrown to the fire. They fired him. He was already replaced as head of talent relations. So I don't know if he was already going to get released. He was there for a while. But now the pile-on began, right? Where all these accusations about Mark Carano and him being inappropriate with a lot of the talent, him not being very negative with a lot of the female talent. There was apparently, I have no idea if this is true or not. There's apparently an ex-girlfriend that went on a tirade on social media. I don't know if it was proven to be false or true, so I don't even want to say what it is. So all of a sudden, all these, wow, Mike, there is something really bad going on with my mic. I'm popping here. So there's a lot going on with Mark Carano. What did you make of this?
I think, like I said at the top of the show, I feel like all it takes is that one or two people in the back that don't like you and do something stupid. And I feel like you've kind of heard stuff about this guy in the past. And the WWE took steps to immediately fire him, right? And I think, obviously, depending on the person, you either have a good relationship with somebody in question or you don't. You know, yeah. And for those that don't, they get the shit end of the stick. Yes, I think it sucks that Mickie James got her stuff sent to her in a trash bag. You know, yeah. I think it sucks that CM Punk got his release papers the day of his wedding or whatever, right?
Yeah.
I feel like obviously it's not oversight. They know what they're doing. You know, it's a corporation.
But you know
when
what,
you
though?
Work for a corporation, exactly. There's HR, there's all this shit. And this is just somebody turning the screw. Go ahead.
I'm going to tell you. CM Punk, for example, right? He got let go on a terrible day, right? Mm-hmm. And the firing and the letting go and the issues, there were all over his public. If they didn't intend on sending it to him on his wedding day, you know what any company would have done? They would have said, oh my God, this guy's getting married and I believe this is arriving. Mm-hmm. Let's just get in front of this. Let's call him. And let him know that it was not intentional and you know, just be apologetic and kind of diffuse it. No, it was done intentional. I don't know if the Mickie James stuff was intentional or not, but that's not even the point if it was or it wasn't. What it says as a company is that your talent does not have the confidence in you to look out for their best interest.
Yes, and you know what would make that better? All it takes is like the little extra step, right? You know what would, I feel like she wouldn't even have posted something if there was a little note that said, hey, here's your stuff. Thank you for everything. We're very sorry. This is all we had. And that's, you know, we're very sorry. The trash bag was all we had. Some guy had to run out, whatever, you know.
Whatever, yeah. What else do we have here? Anything?
Let's see.
Go ahead.
Ronda Rousey's pregnant?
Yes, due on September 22nd.
Cool. Do you think she's going to come back after that, or is she done?
I think she'll come back. I don't think she'll do a full-time schedule again.
Okay. PWI has reported that WWE is going to test some live events this summer.
Yes. I'll have more information next week. I was told like a bunch of stuff that I haven't confirmed. So, but that I have heard the same thing, that they're looking to go live this summer. And they're planning for the Garden in September.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Apparently, Andrade is going to have his first match post-WWE against Alberto El Patron on July 31st.
I'm telling you, Del Rio's going to sprinkle whatever affects him onto Andrade. And Andrade's going to have a mental breakdown like him. Oh, man. I think Andrade's a... There's too many parallels being drawn online between Andrade and Del Rio, which I don't like.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't like seeing that, but why is this match happening with Del Rio?
Maybe they know each other. Who knows, man? Like, I don't know. I don't know. Like, I read it, and I was like, out of everybody on the planet,
that's
like,
the guy.
Why the guy mired with so many allegations over the last couple of years? You know?
Not good. Q&A time, boys and girls. Yeah. Let's right, do our got, questions.
You got to get out of here, so let's make this quick. Scar Happy asks, could Omega come into WWE if Tony and Vince could agree on conditions, only if he has all the other belts?
I mean, everything is possible. I don't see that happening ever. Yeah. But anything and everything is possible.
Oh, for sure. Let's see. We got Corey asking, how much do you think the AEW rating will be affected by the presidential address last night?
That's a great question. I don't know. I could tell you that I don't know. I think that the ratings are going to be lower than what people expect, but I don't know how much it's going to affect them. Listen, I didn't watch the presidential address live because
good
by
speech.
The time I didn't watch it. I watched the clips in the morning. I was like, okay, cool, whatever. I watched wrestling last night. So that was I chose. I don't know what everybody else did. I have no idea what their patterns are.
I caught right from the end of Dynamite, I switched over and I caught the end of the speech. And after a whole night of excellent promos, I was like, this guy just delivered a great promo.
That was a good promo. Yeah.
That's a good promo. It's a good promo about America. We got another one here. I think this might be our last one. We only have three
maybe,
today.
Maybe.
How much do you think the AEW rating will be affected? Oh, but just come on. Come on, guys.
Oh, same question.
Put this thing twice.
Come on.
Do you think Blood and Guts will be affected by Cinco de Mayo next week?
No. So what I think a lot of people are saying because things have opened. I think things have not opened for a lot of people. I also don't think people's habits have adapted to everything. Like they just passed the thing about the masks, right? You don't need to wear one if you're vaccinated outdoors.
Yeah.
That thing's not on me anymore. I'm vaccinated, whatever. I'm not wearing it. But the dirty looks are still there.
Especially, well, when you go into certain parts of the city, for sure. You know?
I don't care anymore. I'm over everything. I'm over it all. I just want to spill alcohol all over me, get naked, and run around the subway. That's my goal.
Open mouth kisses. But
open mouth kisses to everybody.
But in your neighborhood, nobody gives a crap. And I don't think
nobody
they ever
cares.
Have.
So No. In this neighborhood, if you wear the mask, they've been yelling at you. It's been one of those.
It's bizarre. Like, I live 10 minutes, not even 10 minutes away from you. I live maybe like a 5-minute car ride away from where you are. And over here, it's Mask City. You cross over a certain like street and it's like, what are you wearing a mask for? What do you think? What do you think? I got a disease, bro.
Yeah, no, it's Bayside has not been very pro-mask. But you know what, though? And then you see people fighting with it's a terrible situation. I was in Rite Aid, I was in Walgreens the other day, and this woman was just fighting with the kid behind the counter that said, hey, would you mind putting on the mask? And I'm like, he's doing his freaking job. Like, you think he wants to tell you to put on the freaking mask? Like, I get it. Yeah, sucks. Yeah. I get it. But I do wear the mask on the fucking train, though. Oh, forever. I'm going to do that forever now. Those
same
Goonies,
here.
They're a bunch of sewer monsters. There's not one normal. Everybody's an X-Men. They're all mutants.
I had this conversation the other day. It may have been with you, actually, where I was saying, like, you know what? I will forever wear that mask on the subway because I can't tell you how many times I've gotten a cold or sick riding the subway train and somebody just like sneezes on my arm, coughing, touching shit, putting it on my face, open mouth kisses to the train conductor. You name it.
Dude, I say this all the time and people think it's a joke. Right before COVID, this homeless man vomited blood all over my feet, all over my shoes, just splattered all over me.
Were you barefoot in the park?
I was barefoot in the park. It was all over my feet, my toes, everything got right in between.
Like,
it's a gross place, New York. It's a disgusting, disgusting city.
Before we go, can we talk about one last thing that we forgot to mention?
Yes.
The NHL deal with AEW, because there's like weird stuff that's been floating around, like, oh, is Dynamite going to be Dynamite going to have to shift, etc.
No, it's not. They're not going to shift it. NHL, it's going to be, as far as I know, they're not shifting it. That was not even on the table to move AEW. Cool. So if that happens, that's a new development. But I asked and I was told no. And I think Tony Khan said no, it's not going to affect them.
Oh, awesome.
Didn't Tony do a thing yesterday and he said it's not going to Sony said they would have to sign a new contract to do that. Yes, they would have to, because they're on there and they just extended their contract.
Yeah.
So it's not going to affect them unless there's something changes.
Cool.
All right, guys, that's it. I got to head to the train. I got to go do stuff. We'll be back next week. See you later.
Yeah.